What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my co-host, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer, three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, which is what led us to the Locked On Chargers podcast, and this is our second season bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, today we're moving on to our next position in our position group breakdown. And today, since the last couple of shows, we did offensive position groups. Today, we're going to go with linebackers and flip it over to the defense. So there's a lot to talk about regarding the linebackers and the much-needed depth that was added there in the offseason. So on today's show, we're going to talk about last season, as well as a little bit of news that we had. The Chargers had a new signing. So we'll talk about that briefly, and then we'll talk about just the lack of productivity from the Chargers linebackers in 2018, which obviously led to them using seven defensive backs against the Ravens, mostly because every linebacker on the team was injured. So we'll talk about that in the first segment, and then in the second segment, I want to talk about all the guys that they added in the offseason and talk about guys like Thomas Davis, and then the rookies, Drew Tranquil and Emeka Egbule in the second segment, as well as if we think the Chargers did enough there to satisfy us and make us feel better about that linebacking position group, because last year it was pretty bad. And then to wrap the show up at the end, we'll talk about the position battles, what the depth chart should be going into the season, given everyone stays healthy. And we'll talk about the guys on the end of the roster right now that could potentially make the team if there is any, because right now the Chargers have 12 linebackers. So there's a lot of guys to talk about and a lot of guys that will probably have their NFL dreams cut short. We'll go ahead and get into that last, but let's go ahead and get into it, guys. The Chargers signed Grant Weiss, who spent a couple of off seasons with the Cardinals, and he's an offensive tackle that couldn't make the Cardinals opening day roster the last two seasons on a dreadful offensive line. But either way, he did spend last season after the year and not making it with the Cardinals. He was with the Arizona Hotshots in the infamous AAF, which obviously ended abruptly, but he did play there and started there. So guys, I don't think there's a lot to make of this pick, but John, I don't think it's bad to add bodies to this position group and, you know, potentially add talent and see if he can push some of these guys for a backup job maybe. And then the guy Coda Martin, who they waived / injured to make this move, was an undrafted free agent, so there really wasn't much to expect from him. But I think if you do have a guy like that that isn't on the field yet, or that you don't feel great about and you feel like you can make an improvement or at least give some better competition, I understand what they're doing.
Yeah, you can. I mean, I'm guessing that since he's had experience with the AAF and has been on the Cardinals preseason squad, it's a little bit more experience, if you will. He's, according to some stuff I've seen, he was an all-MAC selection in his senior year when he played for Toledo. So you're basically getting an all-star from his conference. I mean, it's the MAC. Not saying much, but that is a high offensive conference in college football, where those teams usually explode for 40 points a game or something. So he could have some potential there, being a part of those type of teams. But if anything, yeah, he is basically just your competing for the backup spot or just a shot on the roster. But if he was to become a starter at all, it'd be because he was a project over 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, Toledo, you would think he knows how to pass block, at least. I think I read that too, John, and he was on the team for one of the leading offenses in the country because that's what Toledo does. I mean, they're known for their offense, but it's not the signing that most fans wanted when you see you signed an offensive tackle. That's not the guy that's going to move the needle. So I don't think it really changes the landscape of how we feel about the offensive line right now, which if you guys have listened before, and if you have not, I'll tell you, we do not feel good about the offensive line. So I know that's pretty obvious, but with the Russell Okung thing still in the air, I think this doesn't really make you feel any better about that. It's basically just another guy competing for a backup job. And like John said, if it does make the team, he would be somewhat of a project. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the linebackers, guys. Like I said before, the Chargers have 12 linebackers this year. And since we're going to be talking about the 2018 season, I'll tell you that at one point they had zero linebackers basically last season. So it was a very rough year, David, for the Chargers linebacking core. I mean, injuries on top of injuries. Denzel Perryman couldn't stay on the field, came back after a while, missed a ton of games last year, which is, I mean, kind of par for the course for Denzel Perryman, unfortunately, at this point in his career. I mean, it sucks, but the guy hasn't been able to play a full 16-game season. And then you go to Jatavis Brown, who was, I mean, okay, but not really that good last. Then you have Jatavis Brown, who stepped in for him and had a bunch of tackles and didn't play as bad as when he missed six straight tackles, I think it was, in the preseason last year when he was playing in the third quarter of the fourth game. But he still wasn't good enough, and then he ended up getting injured. Kazir White started, then got injured. I mean, that was the story last year, David, for the linebackers, was just injuries. They piled up, and they didn't have the depth to put guys in there that could play, I mean, even average for the most part.
Too many injuries last year, Daniel. You're absolutely right. Unfortunately, you know, Denzel Perryman can't stay on the football field. You see great things out of Kazir White, at least early, that get you excited. Man, nobody could step up and stay there, and it really hurt that run defense, which I think was probably one of the softer parts of the team last year.
Yeah, and Denzel Perryman, I think, was the one that was just the worst to lose, because you know how much he brings to the team, especially stopping the run. I mean, that is his specialty, even though last year he was still pretty good in the very limited coverage that he saw. But, John, the Chargers gave Denzel Perryman a two-year, $12 million deal. He never played in 16 games in his career. The most he's played is 14, and that was his rookie season, and then it was he only played 12 the next year, 7 the year after that, and only 9 games last season. John, when Denzel Perryman was on the field, it was really good, but it's not going to be any different from this year to next year if he can't stay on the field. I mean, yes, we can talk about how bad they were last year, but you're going to get more of the same if he can't stay there.
Yeah, which is why I think they need to start using maybe a rotational situation with him instead of making him your main guy 24/7. Start getting some rotation in, start figuring out how many snaps he needs per game to so that you can have him throughout the season. When you talk about the additions that they bring in and stuff like that, you can see that they're trying to maybe lower down his snap count, which would help a lot. Because if he plays every single game with a body that's already been broken 4 or 5 times, you're just going to add more breaking parts to it. And last year, he got hurt playing on the horrible field of the Raiders. So whether you want to say that's his fault or not, I mean, it's still a situation because there's a bunch of other guys on that field who did not get hurt playing on that horrible field, but yet Perryman was obviously the one who got hurt, which follows his trend. So I'd have to say, if you're going to sign that 2-year deal, you got to manage the snap counts.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea because he obviously can't stay on the field. And then, I mean, I don't hold that against him necessarily. It's not his fault that he keeps getting injured. But at the same time, I mean, now you're getting paid a little bit more. You have a contract to live up to. You knew you saw that he was crying when he signed that contract, just because he knows more than anyone else how much he hasn't been able to be on the field and help his team. But, John, I know you were a big Kazir White fan when they got him. It was nice to see something promising out of him, and I think that's the one thing you want to take from last year and their linebackers' performances and hope that that trend continues next year.
Absolutely. If we could have used him big time in New England with how well he was able to cover the flats and be able to come down on short passes, we could have used his tackling big time in New England. To have him back this year, and hopefully he stays healthy this time, could probably mean we have another dimension of the offense that is already fixed, which is the short passing game over in the flats, where the teams would beat us up the middle with the run constantly because we don't have anyone there to fix it. But now we have defensive tackles to hopefully fix that. But they kept beating us with that, and they would throw something in the flats or a quick 5-yard slant, and nobody's there to make the tackle. Or if they are, they can't make a tackle because Kazir White was the only guy who could make that tackle on a consistent basis. When he got injured, you could see the difference with how that worked. And the Patriots game was a big-time version of that when they kept throwing it to Michelle. So having him back is going to mean this defense is really good at stopping the short passing game now.
Yeah, and there's obviously some other guys like Nick DeZubner, who's a special teamer, Trayvon Johnson, who didn't really play, and guys like that, that, you know, Kyle Emanuel is another technically linebacker that we just will not talk about anymore because he's not on the Chargers and he's now retired now, so we don't have to do that. I wish the best for Kyle Emanuel, obviously. But I think to sum up what last year's linebackers were, I mean, it's injury prone and inconsistent. I mean, you saw good plays at time. None of the linebackers really rushed the passer very well last season. I mean, it just was a really tough year for the position. But like we said, they revamped it. It looks a lot better now. It looks a lot faster now. And it definitely is a lot younger now with how many young guys they're going to bring into that room this year. So that kind of leads us to the next segment, talking about the new additions that the Chargers made. So we'll get into that right after this. But first, as you guys know, David just got back from vacation last week in Mexico, and he had a blast on his cruise. And when I asked him, David, what was the best part of the cruise? Hey, it wasn't the beaches. It wasn't the drinking. He said the thing that really changed the cruise for him and made it better was BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so they know it. So you know they work. And this isn't about if you can or can't, guys. This is just about stepping your game up in the bedroom, and BlueChew does that for you. And you can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work twice as fast. Right now, we have a special offer for our listeners. If they visit BlueChew.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, they can get their first shipment for free. All they have to do is pay $5 in shipping. And guys, that's going to come straight to your house in a discreet package. So no awkwardness and no awkward in-person doctor visits. And the best part is you can have it for free when you go to BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment, talking about these linebackers, and specifically in this segment, talking about the linebackers that they brought in. The Chargers said in the offseason, Tom Telesco specifically, that they were going to try and revamp that linebacker core, and they did to some extent. They didn't get C.J. Mosley and spend a ton of money, but they added a lot of pieces there, and that's great to see because of what we talked about, all the injuries that they had last season. Now, I mean, if these rookies pan out, it's going to be a different story this year, and the biggest reason why I think it'll be a different story this year is because of the addition of Thomas Davis Sr., former Carolina Panthers, where he spent his entire career before just now joining the Bolts. This offseason, comes in on a two-year deal, and John, even at his age, he's still performing. I mean, he had 6 pass deflections last year, which is pretty ridiculous. He did really well in coverage. I think he was the 17th ranked linebacker in total overall grade on Pro Football Focus last season. And that's just so exciting because, John, that's only talking about the on-the-field stuff, not even what he's going to bring from a leadership standpoint, which is what the Chargers so dearly value.
Yeah, that's the part I love about it, is this guy could be the leader on the team. This is a guy who played alongside Luke Kuechly, and yet he was the leader, not Kuechly. Kuechly was just the best player on the field. So the fact that we have a guy who, despite might not be the best player on the field, will still be the leader on the team, shows that his ego is out the door, which is something this Chargers team has shown it has done, is thrown its own ego out the door with how good these young guys are bonding and playing together. So to have that alone on the team is big, but at his age, he is probably one of the top linebackers in the league still. I wouldn't say top 10, but he's definitely still up there, pretty close.
He's pretty much the only one left at his age.
Yeah, and he is still going to put production for the Chargers on the field with that age, and you got him cheap. If he had been a younger guy with this production, you would have had to spend C.J. Mosley money probably. So that his age, I think, helped us with money-wise. But with that age comes experience, it comes leadership, and it also comes with he's built a body probably by now that is going to withstand a lot of hits and stuff. And he had early injuries in his career, but he stayed pretty healthy since.
Yeah, and when you're talking about a guy like Thomas Davis and a player at his age, I know it's hard to sometimes get excited about that, and he might not ever get to that 100-tackle threshold again in his career, but yeah, you're talking about toughness, a guy who played through a broken arm, which we will mention basically every time we talk about him, to play in the Super Bowl, because, I mean, it has to be said. But David, even at his age, I think that this has to be one of the most noted Tom Telesco additions, at least as far as the bargain free agent guys, because not only has this guy been able to stay on the field, you have a starter right now, you have experience, and a guy that can still get around to lead this really young group of linebackers.
Well, Thomas Davis is like another coach on the field, Daniel. I mean, he's been in the league 15 plus years. I mean, there's nothing this guy has not seen. And you know he's a guy who's going to have integrity. He's going to keep he's going to hold the guys next to him accountable, you know, where they're going to be at. He's going to know what everyone's assignment is, and he's going to be able to help these young linebackers as well as Denzel Perryman and also be a good security blanket for the eventuality that Denzel Perryman goes down.
Exactly. I mean, and you will have both of them on the field at the same time. I think it's going to be a rotation of linebackers. I think the Chargers know his age. And I think the other part of it is, hey, you have to be ready that, hey, possibly it doesn't work out. Possibly he is too old and he's over the hill. But nothing that I've seen so far and what I saw from him last year has told me that. So it would be a pretty monumental drop off if he was suddenly a bad player this year and couldn't do anything right. I mean, I think the floor for Thomas Davis is pretty high. I think you're getting a pretty good football player almost no matter what. So let's talk about the other two guys, because the Chargers brought in two rookies, one in the fourth round, Drew Tranquil out of Notre Dame, and the other in the sixth round out of Houston, Emeka Igboule. These are two guys that I could see absolutely making this roster. Right now, Uchenna Nwosu is basically the only other strong side linebacker, even though Thomas Davis can pretty much play all three. But it's Uchenna Nwosu and Emeka Igboule, who have very different skill sets. I think that at his best, Emeka Igboule is less of a pass rusher, but a better overall player, John. I think he has the ability to do a lot of things, and he fits the mold of what the Chargers seem to be targeting, which is super athletic, speedy guys to put at the linebacker position.
You talk about a mold that they're trying to fill. Like, a lot of these guys are athletic guys. There's a guy in here we'll talk about later who got the undrafted free agent that used to be a wide receiver. So to talk about Emeka joining this team as an athletic guy, I mean, there was some of the game film that we had where he was lined up way out in the slot covering wide receivers, not tight ends, not running backs. He was covering wide receivers out in the slot like Desmond King would. And he's listed as a linebacker on the college team and on the NFL team. That's athleticism right there. And that's something that Tom Telesco wants on this team. Obviously, you can see that it works really well. And the one thing I want to know from you, Wade, is even though he's a really athletic guy, do you think he's going to be good in the run defense? Because I think that's where he's going to have to make his mark. But he's obviously got some pass defense ability.
Well, I think as far as his tackling ability goes, I was impressed by it. I didn't see him miss a lot of tackles. And the other thing is, I don't know if Houston really used him in the best of scenarios, John, like you're talking about. I mean, the amount of time he was just spread out so wide, I don't think you're going to see that very much in the Chargers defense. That's not how Gus Bradley plays that. I mean, he'll be at the end of the line of scrimmage. So I think that is a huge thing for him. I don't think they're looking for him to come in and be a 7-8 sack guy, but I think they think of him as a guy who can get out and cover, a guy that's good at stopping the run, even though they weren't able to see a lot of what he's going to see. I think what you have seen from him in college is promising. I really liked what I saw out of Emeka Igboule. And then the other guy that I didn't really know how I felt about him, but I've come around a little bit on, is Drew Tranquil. I thought it was kind of a so-so pick in the fourth round for them, David. I wasn't super excited about it. When we talked to Jack Nolan about him, I think he might have been most excited for Drew Tranquil, even a little bit more than Jerry Tillery, as far as what this guy was able to do, transitioning from safety to linebacker and never really skipping a beat and always coming back from the injuries that he suffered earlier in his career and becoming a team captain by his senior year. And this is a guy that, I mean, they had playing middle linebacker in the offseason activities. And even though he's a little bit smaller, I mean, the guy is stacked. He's a little bit shorter, and he's pretty quick, but he's stacked. So, David, I'm pretty excited about Drew Tranquil. I think he will be good on special teams, which is, I think, where he'll start. But I do think he has the tools to turn that into a bigger role, especially maybe in coverage and, you know, covering running backs in space, that type of thing, because those are the abilities that he's succeeded in college.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there with the coverage ability. I think that's immediately what Drew Tranquil is going to bring to the table. That is what he's going to help upgrade about the Chargers defense, is being able to, you know, provide and really offer real pass coverage chops at the linebacker position. There's not a lot of that ability right now. When you look at the Chargers linebackers, in my opinion, they fell short on that last year. And I think it's going to be really important to help cover those tight ends, those running backs, really be able to command and cover the middle of the field like they haven't been able to in the past. So I think Drew Tranquil automatically helps with that, just with his presence.
I think he could be another Kazir White on this roster, really. Not as fast, probably, but the same type of player.
Yeah, similarly. I mean, and I know that he transitioned to be a linebacker, but hey, how many linebackers did the Chargers have that were once safeties? I mean, first, let's start with Adrian Phillips, who we haven't even talked about in this linebacker conversation, and he probably deserves a mention in this as well. But then you have a guy like Kazir White, who was kind of a safety in college, and Drew Tranquil, who was at one point a safety in college. I think that's the way the NFL is going, guys. I mean, I think you do have a spot for a guy like Denzel Perryman on the early downs, but with the way the Chargers got shredded by the Patriots in the playoffs, it was very clear that they didn't have an answer for the shorter routes and the running backs out of the backfield. And yes, you can match safeties up with them, but the Patriots are so good at mismatching you, it becomes a lot harder if you have a lot of guys that can do a lot of things well. So I think that Drew Tranquil could struggle, especially, you know, getting in there with the trees, the offensive linemen, and shedding blocks. I didn't think that was a huge strength of his, even though it's not because of effort. But I do think he could struggle with that. Shorter arms, not a huge guy, not super elusive as far as making blockers miss him. But I do think that there is a role that they could carve out for him. And I think the Chargers have a lot of guys that you could put into a lot of situations that will make this team better in some sort of rotation. And I think that both of these rookies do have a chance of pushing for time in that rotation. So that being said, we do have one more segment to get into, talking about how this depth chart is going to shake out and the position battles that will lead up to its confirmation. So we'll get into that right after this. All right, guys, final segment of our linebacker position group breakdown. So many linebackers to talk about, so little time. I think I've mentioned even the names of one third of them so far, but that's what this last segment is about, because there's some guys that could be bounced and will be balanced off of this roster that we haven't got to yet. But first, I want to talk about the position battle. So, John, if I told you right now and I said, hey, right now the starters at linebacker are Uchenna Nwosu, Denzel Perryman, and Thomas Davis, do you think that's pretty much a lock?
I'd have to say it seems like a lock right now, since a lot of the other guys that are on this roster were hurt the year before, and were younger guys that are still trying to prove themselves. So like a Kazir White, in my mind, if he had stayed healthy all last year, would probably be starting somewhere in there, probably over Uchenna. But with the injury he had and stuff, I think he has to work his way back up to a starting position. So the only other guy on here that probably could be a starter, I mean, I know you probably won't agree with it, but I think it could be Tranquil. He's probably the only guy who could be a starter. But other than that, no, I don't think anybody else earns that starting spot.
Yeah, no, I disagree on Tranquil. I don't think he'll be a starter unless it's due to injury. I just don't. I guess it depends what you're saying. Could he maybe be a starting third down linebacker? I mean, potentially in a role, he could technically be the starter, but I don't think on first and 10, you're ever going to see Drew Tranquil out there unless they are absolutely decimated by injuries. But I think you're right. I think there are guys that would make sense. I mean, if Emeka Egbuhe comes out and just, you know, blows the roof off and just has an outstanding training camp and you can't stop noticing him, I mean, there's no reason that he couldn't technically get a start at the strong side linebacker over Uchenna Nwosu, who at this point has been more of a pass rush specialist, I guess, if you could call him that. I mean, it's really not been a great pass rush, but at the same time, that's what he's there for. He's there to rush the passer for the most part. Didn't have a ton of production as far as stopping the run, or at least just making big plays in the running game and holding his ground, even though I thought he showed a lot of potential. I could see that happening. But David, I think with the starters right now, it's those three guys. And I don't know if there's any real position battle that I could see them losing to start someone else. I think really, at this point, if everything stays on the right path, I think those are the three guys that are starting.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't think there really is going to be anyone that's going to be able to come up at training camp and really take that position, you know, except, you know, in the case of an injury, which obviously none of us are asking for. But I think you also feel really good about the depth now. I mean, if that's the depth that you're bringing into the season, then I think you're feeling a lot more comfortable than you did last year. Guys that have actual, you know, skill sets and talent and speed that you're going to be able to use this season. I mean, obviously that's a position that is a very physical one, and you know those guys are going to have to get rotated and go out, and so you know you have to be prepared. And I think for the first time in a while, they are.
Yeah, I think that they are prepared for it, but I'm really interested to see how this shakes up, because even though we're not sure that if any of the starting linebacker jobs are up for grabs at this point, I think there's a lot of guys who could get playing time, John, and that's what's exciting, because I don't think necessarily that other guys are going to get in just because of injury. I think some of these guys could earn playing time just by their performance. I think, John, honestly, there's a good chance if everyone stays healthy, which I know is a huge wish. I know is a huge if. I could see, you know, five linebackers getting more playing time this year than Ja'Tavis Brown. I know that they like him in certain ways, but last year was really due to necessity that he came in and really just an emergency of injuries. But, John, it wouldn't surprise me if Uchenna, Denzel, Thomas Davis, Drew Tranquil even, and Kazir White, either Drew Tranquil or Emeka Egbuole. I mean, it's not crazy to think that five linebackers could have more playing time than Ja'Tavis Brown if they show up in the preseason.
I agree with that, and that's because they probably tackle better than Ja'Tavis Brown does.
Yeah.
And that alone is going to get you playing time. I think Ja'Tavis Brown is just your coverage linebacker type of guy. You can maybe shut down some passing lanes and stuff, but other than that, once they catch that ball, he's going to have a rough time tackling them. If it happens to be a run play, if it's 3rd and 13 and the team goes, you know, we're probably not picking up this first down, let's just run it up the middle and make a better punting situation, and the Ja'Tavis Brown's the first one to make contact, they're probably going to get more yards after that. So that alone makes me agree with that he's probably going to get less playing time than the other five guys.
Well, and it was nice when he first came in because he did two things very well. He rushed the passer well. I mean, he had all those sacks his rookie season, and he covered well. And even last year, John, for a guy that's supposed to be, you know, a coverage specialist, or that's where he's best suited, he didn't cover particularly well. He was the lowest graded coverage linebacker on the Chargers last season, which I think would shock a lot of people. I mean, even Denzel Perryman had a better Pro Football Focus coverage grade than him. And, of course, his run stopping was the worst as well, with a 49.1 grade at stopping the run. So that's not good. But, David, I think at the end of the day, even though we did see some flashes early from Ja'Tavis Brown, I think if he's not getting a lot of playing time, it's better for the Chargers, because I'm not sure we're going to see great improvements from Ja'Tavis Brown. And I think the other guys have the upside to potentially steal playing time from him and get on the field more.
Well, and it might benefit Ja'Tavis Brown just, you know, because he's a smaller linebacker and he's, you know, had some injury history in his career as well. But, you know, he has a lot of speed. He has a lot of ability. And maybe if you, you know, put him in just positions that you think he's really going to succeed at in a rotation, that might improve the quality of his snaps. So, yeah, it might benefit him to not be on the field as much. But you're right. I mean, there are other guys that are bringing skill sets to the table that are probably going to be more suited to Gus Bradley's defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's a miracle that somehow he made it as long as he did last season. I mean, he had over 90 combined tackles, 97 to be exact, 61 solo tackles, only had one sack, which sucks because he was pretty good at that early on in his career, and he got a ton of playing time last season, even if he didn't blitz a lot. They played in a different system back then, obviously, under John Pagano, where they blitz a lot more than they do now. But at the same time, you cannot rely on him for that many snaps. But that being said, let's talk about the other guys, the guys that aren't necessarily fighting for a starting spot, but just fighting to get on the team, John. And I think Nick DeZubner this year, with the amount of linebackers, probably finds himself on this list, because you have other guys that spent time with the team last year, like Trey Johnson and a guy like Kyle Wilson. And then you also have undrafted free agent guys like Josh Corcoran, Elijah Zeiss, and guys like that. So there's a ton of linebackers on this team, John. I mean, when you're talking about seven spots on this roster for linebackers, I mean, let's play it out right now. If the Chargers have Uchenna, Denzel Perryman, Thomas Davis, and they keep guys like Jatavis Brown, Kazir White, Emeka Egbule, and Drew Tranquil, that doesn't leave a lot of spots on the roster. I mean, even Jatavis Brown's on the hot seat, which makes you think Nick DeZubner is probably definitely on the hot seat, because at this point, he's only special teams value. And I think the Chargers this season, more than most, have the depth at the position where I think it's a good possibility that Nick DeZubner doesn't make the team. And I think Jatavis Brown might have to be a little scared.
Jatavis Brown or Nick DeZubner are probably one of the two guys that are going to have to fight for a roster spot, really. We're talking about position battles. How about roster spot battles? It's got to be between the Zuner and Jatavis Brown, probably, unless Tranquil or Meke somehow screws up really bad in preseason. Then it just makes that decision easier. But between those two, it's got to be one of those two guys for sure. But there's also guys on here that could maybe be that special teams player over to Zuner, like Elijah Zeiss, who was a wide receiver at Pitt and turned into a linebacker, a really athletic guy with a little bit of speed who could probably be your kickoff guy as well. You have a guy over here in Josh Corcoran who had 12 tackles for loss, including 10 sacks in his senior year at Northern Illinois. There's guys like that alone that are probably make for a little bit of position battles, whether it be for special teams or whether it just be for practice squad positions. Because if you have a couple of those guys on the practice squad, that means you're not going to be able to keep Tranquil or Meke on there. So I think that could make for a roster battle as well, as who's going to be on the practice squad if they don't make it, and who's going to be on special teams if they don't make it as the linebacking core.
Well, and it's, I mean, more than a few guys from last year. I mean, I could see Kyle Wilson, Nick DeZubner, Trayvon Johnson. I think those guys, I mean, to some extent are kind of a long shot on this roster right now with the depth they have there, because I think, you know, Drew Tranquil, a fourth-round pick, they don't often cut their fourth-round pick before the season starts. That guy usually makes the roster, I mean, for the most part. Sixth-round picks like Egbule, that's a different story. I mean, you could potentially put him on the bubble, but I'm excited for him as a player right now, so I don't see that happening. I think there's a lot of guys that are going to be unlucky and not have a spot on this team, David. I mean, when you have the veteran that you have come in and you have these rookies there, plus the guys that have already proven it. I mean, Nick DeZubner, Jatavis Brown, basically everyone else after that with the guys they had last year and the undrafted free agents. It's going to be a hell of a battle for one of those guys to make the squad. And I think they're going to have to really impress before the season starts.
Well, and they're going to have to do that on special teams. And they're going to have, like you said, a lot of competition. I mean, they're going to have to really excel on special teams because, you know, I think we already know who's going to really be on the field at linebacker. So the guy who's going to take that last spot is going to be that special teams demon.
He's going to at least have to play some special teams and bring some value to that, because if you're talking about the third guy on a depth chart, I mean, there's three linebackers. So one and a backup each is six already before whoever else you have there. I mean, those guys at the end of that list are going to have to play special teams. So I think you're absolutely right about that. They're going to have to not only do special teams, because you have a guy who's very good on special teams and made the Pro Bowl, and Nick DeZubner. So I don't think is going to be an all special teams guy necessarily if they move away from DeZubner. I think you're going to have to be able to do both. Show some promise and upside as a player, as well as show some ability to play on special teams where you can't afford the guys before them getting hurt. But, guys, I mean, there's so many players, a lot to talk about, but I think we covered it pretty well. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, where we share all of the shows. And you will also see our live show if you like the Facebook page as well, because it is also posted on there, which we do at Chargers Domination Live. If you don't already, make sure you subscribe to us on the Himalaya podcasting app, Google Podcast, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcast from, so you can get the show usually the night before everyone else gets it, which is pretty cool. And if you want to get your voice on the show to talk about this linebacker position or who you want us to talk about next as far as position group breakdowns, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. It's 323-524-7924. Every voicemail gets played on the show, so make sure to call in, guys, so you can have your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy and go Bolts.